All right. Well, we are here today, and you are here with us, if you can see and hear us or not. We are from a galaxy far, far away. Maybe in the distant past. I don't know. Anyways, yes, we are there. So much so, listen, our lights have been worshiping, man. I'm going to tell you right now, if y'all ain't been worshiping, we've been worshiping. And I'm going to tell you, I'm excited for it. So thank you for joining us today. I need you to let two people know, because we're going to get ready to keep going. I can live fully in God's family. 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 The reason we're going to be having that perspective today is we're going to continue, and probably one of the things I could spend forever talking about, and I'll try my best not to spend forever talking about it, but we're going to continue in how to thrive in Christ in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And again, just a reminder, the reason we're going through that as a church family is the Corinthian culture is very, very similar to our culture. And the problem became for the Corinthians when they were Christians. Instead of following and only and walking only in the truth of Christ, they kept trying to walk into the truths of the world. And so right now, what Paul's going to be addressing with the Corinthians is them being the body of Christ. It's very familiar for many of us when we're there, and the Corinthians are having issues in serving together and being unified together inside the church. And so that's what we're going to be walking and learning through today is this: one body, many parts. Now, we know this. This is going to be very familiar, but it kind of makes me think of, as we're getting ready for things, I had two things come to mind. It's one thing to know and have the materials to build a house. It's a complete different thing, though, to put it together so that the structure supports each other and builds itself, right? Like, you got to know what you're doing so the structure can stand. Otherwise, it will fall apart. You can have all of the wood. You can have all of the concrete, the rebar. You can have whatever you're going to build with bricks, or you can have cinder blocks, whatever you're going to do. You can have the walls. You can have everything that you need. But if you can't put it all together to support it, what's the point of the house? It's just going to fall. The same is true inside the church, inside the body of Christ. We are built to support each other. And so I knew that maybe that example wouldn't hit everybody home really quickly. So it made me also to kind of think about this. You can have all the parts of a band together, right? Of a music, of a set. But if they don't play in harmony together, it's going to sound awful. If they don't play in tune, if they don't play in time together, in tempo together, it's going to sound discombobulated. It's going to sound chaotic. It's not going to be enjoyable. It's going to be hard work for nothing. And so maybe that's where you are today. The Corinthians that Paul's going to address, we're only going to be in a few verses in 1 Corinthians 12 today, and then we're going to walk through 10 different serving gifts, and I'm going to go as quickly as I can through them today. But the problem with the Corinthians is they were still trying to walk in the truth of the world. They were trying to say, my gift is better than your gift. I'm higher up on the totem pole. I deserve more than you do. I deserve more praise. I deserve more honor. What I do matters more than anything else. And I don't need you. And the problem for the Corinthians, and Paul is trying to address, is we're going to be reminded today that we need each other, because as that house builds and supports each other, as each instrument of that band comes together in harmony and in tempo, it makes the most beautiful sound when it supports each other unified, as opposed to that big crashing fall. That being said, if you've got your Bible today, let's get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're only going to be in 8 verses today. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 to 26. As always, if you don't have a Bible, we love to give you one for free over in the garden. I will tell you, we offer that every week, and I think we've only had like one taken away. So I'm just going to start lying and say there's $100 bills in one of them or something, and we're just going to see what happens if people go do that. You never know. There's a mad dash. There's a winning lottery ticket over there. I don't know, but I will tell you what you'll find in that Bible is much more important than that lottery ticket, but I digress. That being said, if you need a Bible, you can do that. As always, mentioned it a little bit earlier as we said hello to everyone. If you would like to follow along with us for free on our Vine Church app, it's a great day to do that so that you can take notes. You can get that for free at thevine.tv/app today. But also, each and every week, this week, I wore him out, and I know he does not care to be honored. He and I are very much similarly wired, but I'm going to tell you something. He had to go slide a palooza today. So Zach Candler makes sure every week, wherever you're watching around the world, the scripture's on the screen and the slides are there. He had more slides than normal. It's more than normal for me, he will tell you. Maybe not for others, but more than normal for me when it comes to slides today. So if you're in 1 Corinthians 12, you're at verse 18, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord. So let's go 18 to 26, and then we're going to talk about these 10 gifts that we have spiritually in the Lord to serve in the body. It says this, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body. Who placed it, church? God. So we don't choose our gifts. Just know that. In the spirit, we can have all of these gifts, but there are some that we're better at than others. Okay? I can't play the trumpet worth anything. But you give me a pair of drumsticks, I can be like Animal if I need to be. It can work out. Like, that's just how it rolls. It's just how I roll. Like, as we were singing Planet Shakers a second ago and singing the, like, it's one of my favorite songs that we can go through. It's old school to me. As we were doing that, like, I'm hearing the double kick the whole time. Made me think of Eric. You got to tell him, we need a double kick. We got to make it happen. So when that happens for the drums, it just made me think of that. So anyway, that being said, God has given us these gifts. It's kind of like knowing who's going to get a football play. Just how in the world, how do you know where the ball's going? It's just a gifting. So that being said, every one of them God has placed in the body. Look at this, church. Just as he wanted them to be. Not as we pray hard to have that gift or we wanted it to be. So God has given each and every one of us a gift as he wants them to be. It's a sign of surrender. So there is no like saying my gift is better than your gift and your gift doesn't matter. No, God has given us all of these gifts. God has given us all parts of this house to come together to support each other. It says this in verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Paul is taking God and Christ here. Just a reminder, if you were to go 12 on, he's just taking Jesus Christ and his and the body that is the church, his bride. And now he is intermingling God here. So he's bringing the whole Trinity together for the Corinthians, whether they realize it or not. And then he goes and gives more examples of the body here in verse 21 to 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Now, I'm thankful for that because I'm pretty sure I'm one of those unpresentable parts in the Lord, and I'm okay with that. Like, I'm all right with that. Those modesty parts, I'm all right with that. Because, you know, sometimes I stink. It is what it is. You know, I'm just saying what it is. Especially we've been loading in on Monday, on Sunday mornings. I mean, sometimes I just don't smell good, so I'm an unpresentable part. Discuss amongst yourselves later. So that being said, we treat those with special honor. He goes on to say this, while our presentable parts have no special treatment. Again, church, he reminds them, but God has put the body together. Not you, not me, not who I think you should be. I will tell you this before we go on. If anybody tells you, now, I believe in Christian counsel, yes. But if anybody says, this is what God is telling me that you need to do, pray about it because it may be a setup for abuse. I'm just going to put that with you. God's telling me you should give this much money. Well, the question is, what's God telling you to give? Not what that person is telling you to give. It's ripe for abuse. Now, it doesn't mean that good Christian counsel can't come along and God say, hey, God's telling me that I need to pray for you. God's telling me that what you're dealing with right now, I need to pray for you. That's where those calling gifts last week we talked about come in, and now we're going to see him serving. So wherever that is, I'm going to put that word of caution. As a pastor, you're not going to hear me come up here unless I'm truly, truly convicted. Odds are if I say, hey, I think God's telling me to tell you to go talk to that person, God's probably been working on you for a while to do that. But if it's out of the blue, man, oh man, I'm just saying, don't let that lead you astray in your walk with Christ, because often I've seen that, and that's where abuse happens many more times than it should. That's not what Paul's saying to do here. He's saying, understand that God has placed you there and trust the Holy Spirit's prompting. He goes on and it says, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to those parts that lacked it. So there should be what? No division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So that is where we get the saying that we cry, we weep with each other when we weep, or rejoice with each other when we have rejoicing. And so understand that all of us, all of this matters. Now, before we go on to this, just to be reminded, Paul's done this a couple of times in the church, and he's talking about setting up the church for the Corinthians. What we do matters. The bad news is, when we struggle with sin, it affects the whole church. The good news is, when we walk in obedience, it affects the whole church. So your walk with Christ actually has a greater impact than you think, because we are one body, one family. And oftentimes that can be missed out. We try to silo that in our lives. We try to think, well, I can keep this life separate from the church than actually being the church together. And that's how we share everything in common. That's why Jesus prayed as he goes to the cross in John 17 for us to be unified as a body of believers. And then Paul's going to tell us next week as we go in, the most excellent way to do that is love. This is what he is leading into the Corinthians and reminding them that no part of the body has no use. There is every part of the body matters. We can't say, I don't need you, or we don't need that. We need each other because we are a representation of the kingdom of God. If we are disunified and we aren't walking together as one, then what does the world, how does that separate us from the world? When the world is more unified than we are, we should have cause for concern. We should be worried. And the world actually should be unified and trying to stop the message of the gospel. But we should stand in the way of not letting that happen as much as we can. I love that Paul gives this really quick. He uses that as a body. I mean, there's so many examples he could use there. But just imagine your brain telling a body part it doesn't matter. Sometimes you feel like it does, doesn't it? Like sometimes my hands don't work the right way. I try to get it to go right, it goes left. I try to tell my hand not to make those gestures when somebody cuts me off. But for some reason, it does. My brain, it's not my heart. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying, just imagine if we said no part of our body matters. Really quickly, we're going to go through these 10 gifts and we'll take notes, and I'll try my best to get you out of here before the yeast rolls run out at Wade's. But really quickly, when it comes to us, all of us matter, not just in the church, but in a local church around the world. There's always one more person that needs to hear the hope of the gospel until Jesus returns. And it's going to take us all working together, rowing the same way, pulling the rope at the same time for us to be a part of what God is going to do. We can't save those people, but we can sure be a part of planting that seed of the gospel. And so, church, that's where I would say for us, we have to be reminded that every part matters. But I love that Paul also, before that, he sets up that we aren't all the same. He says the eye can't be the ear, the nose can't be the mouth, right? The foot can't be the hand. Your hand can try to do what your foot's going to do, but that don't feel too good when it does that, does it? It does when you're a baby because you're on crawling, right? But as you get an adult, you don't feel like crawling for nothing. You don't want to. Crawling means something happened. You hurt, something's gone to you if you're crawling. If your knee and your elbow, well, those kind of have the same function, but what if your knee was trying to be your stomach? It might help me sometime. It might be getting me in shape. But like, what if your knee was your stomach? It just doesn't work. But what if they work together? Then all of a sudden, man, there's something beautiful that happens, because you know, for you and I, it is physically impossible to walk on 2 feet. I know that sounds nuts. You're like, yeah, but we do it all the time. But it doesn't make sense. It's almost like a hitter hitting a baseball. It is scientifically improbable for that to happen. We should not be able to walk. And if you don't believe me, you have to learn to walk again. Many people who have strokes, many people who have broken hips, you got to learn to walk again. You and I should not be able to walk on our 2 feet. That's a picture of God to me, but that's just me. We're not supposed to be able to walk. It doesn't make sense, because the way that we lean when we walk is not supposed to happen. We're just supposed to be like Humpty Dumpty and just like go straight down. Or your little teapot, tip you over and pour you out, like you're supposed to go down. So I'm just saying all that to say, church, we just have to be reminded how all the parts of our body matter. Now, really quickly, I want to say there are things that happen in our life before we go to this. But the one thing that you and I have a choice of, we can't control the circumstances in our life. We can't control our genetics. We can't control who our mom and dad are. What we can choose and control is what we do with how we serve. God gives us that opportunity. You see it all throughout the Old Testament. You see it all throughout the Bible. He gave Adam and Eve that choice. You can serve me, or you can eat that fruit. You can have all of this, or this one widow anything, this one little cookie jar over here. But if you neglect that cookie jar, you neglect that tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life and death, right? You connect that, you don't get that, you get the rest of the world. And we said, I want that tree. Let me go get that. So for each and every one of us, understand that we can choose to serve God with our gift fully or not. But we miss out on the fullness that God has given us to be in his family if we don't. So I'm going to give you some examples. I'm going to give you the 10 serving gifts as quickly as I can. It's a great day to take notes if you want to. I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you if this is yours, and there'll be a challenge there that the Holy Spirit has. I don't know what that challenge is going to be. Maybe it's to take a next step in it. Maybe it's to celebrate it. I would say give praise to the Lord for that gift. I will tell you that through the Holy Spirit, we have all of these gifts. But there are some of these gifts that God has created us to be connected in the body better with, okay? And so right now I'll give you the name of the gift. I'll give you the scripture that it's in. We'll talk about the gift, and I'll open up some next steps maybe that the Holy Spirit could take you to be telling you to take specifically in the church or elsewhere. So here we go. The first gift is administration. Now, I want to speak to this. If you know administration, if this is your gift, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, some scripture to look up a little bit later is Luke 14, verse 28 to 30. If you hear like me describing this, you'd be like, maybe that's my gift. Look that up later and challenge, let the Holy Spirit challenge you in what he would have you do with that. So the people with the gift of administration create order out of organizational chaos. They love structure, they accomplish God-given goals, they plan, they organize, they develop things, and they supervise others very well, believe it or not. This is why when you have upper-level executive, you have called their administration, that's just kind of what it is. They understand what makes an organization function and become effective and efficient, and they can plan and execute procedures that accomplish goals specifically in ministry. You have to have good administration to help going forward. When I look at administrators, I think of it's football season. I think of football coaches. You got to have good coaches to help make sure that the plays go correctly on the field. Now, the difference in the church is we get to be player coaches. We get to sub ourselves in. You know, we get to have the headset and put on the quarterback jersey and trot on in the game. You know, like we get to do that in the church. So if that's you and that sounds like something that God has gifted you with, check out Luke 14, 28 to 30 later today and understand there's always opportunities inside the church to do that. You can communicate ministry information to people. You can help send emails and texts to people. Inside the Vine, you can do that. We have our Vine Church app. We have an email we try to send out with our Vine Stores update every week. We try to make sure we do the best we can to do that and get the information into your hands. And that takes people with administrative gifts to do that. You can join in our community committees or our facility / building committee. Be looking for things if you're good at that and understand how to make things efficient. Maybe there's something chaotic you see right now. Stop pointing at me. Man, that is messed up. Maybe there's something chaotic you see right now that God's placing on your heart that you're like, man, I can fix that. I think that God has given me this gift and I can help shepherd that well. Step into that. We need you. The church needs you to step into that. There is no wrong thing when it comes to administration. Often when we think of this, I said upper level management, but we also think church secretaries. And I don't know about you, but sometimes secretary gets a bad name. Believe it or not, the church secretary, when I grew up, was the gatekeeper to everything. You just have to know that. They printed the bulletins. They had the pastor's ear. They had everything. So you didn't want to tick off the church secretary because you would be screwed up if that's the case. And so administration could be that, if that's you. I don't need you to be the gatekeeper. I don't need you to be, you know, church lady. What was her name? Church lady, what was that? Satan or whatever it was, Dana Carr. Yeah, anyway, doing that, it's terrible. If that's you, I don't need you to be the bad part of that. But maybe, just maybe, you have an administration. You can help us move forward and advance the gospel that way. Next is craftsmanship / artist. Yeah, craftsmanship / artist, it fit in there. Oh, craftsmanship / artiste. Exodus 31, verse 1 through 11 is what I would have and challenge you to look at. This is God saying everyone coming together as they build the tabernacle, all right, as they get ready to build the temple. And if you recall, and this is why we believe in, hey, the Lord's going to lead us there, and we're going to trust it. But he provided Moses everyone to do the work. He gave them the gifts, the skilled craftsmen to build it. He did the same thing for Solomon when it came time. He said, hey, I'm going to have all of it available to you. Now it's up to you what you do with it. Those people, when it comes to that, they have that. They use creativity. They capture, that captivate people to consider the message of Jesus Christ, to consider the gospel. Oftentimes we think of a craftsman and an artist as someone who builds something, but you just witness it every week with worship. The people who can come together and do that, they are able to have their skills and communicate God's message and his truth through that gifting. They do the interpretive dance, like the guy at the thing. That's all I got. My hips are hurting. They do lie. It hurts today. But they're the guy at the car lot, you know, the little crazy thing. Or they're like the kid on the boat. I was talking about that the other night, you know, getting everybody to row the same way. That being said, whatever they are, they're craftsmen, they're artists. You love their work. They paint things. Like, you ever just look at a painting? Like, I would tell you, you can look at a painting of somebody who's painted, like, the sunsets right now are just absolutely amazing this time of year. This is a time of year the sunsets are beautiful as we're getting ready to go into fall. And I look at that and say, how can you not see God in that? Some people can paint that, and it'll look just like a picture and not be AI. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they really have that gifting. If that's you, then maybe, just maybe, you need to step into that. Now, I've used painting as an example, building as an example, worship as an example, but hey, we have that here. We have Vine production team. We have Vine worship. You can join in. There's building committee. Maybe you know how to build building plans and do all those crazy good things. You got Vine kids. We need to get Spur going. We say that all the time. We need to get young adults going. We're talking about trying to hopefully, if we have enough folks, to step into having a good news club. But we also have social media. Maybe you're good. Last week we talked about the teachers that make those little short videos of a minute or less. I can just take a verse of the Bible. Like, I think the Bible app does it a lot now. If you do the daily refresh or whatever it is, they'll have like a 1 to 2 minute, somebody will get on there, and man, they'll just read the daily verse, and it'll just have this real quick impact, and then you can just go on with it. If that's you and you have that gift, man, we would love to have you be a part of that. If you're not here at the Vine and can do it, we'd love to get you to a local church that can do that. Next, exhortation. Exhortation, big word, right? 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 through 2 is what I would challenge you to look like if that is your gift of exhortation. People with exhortation use word to strengthen the weak and faltering. They motivate them to become all God has created them to be. They encourage, they challenge, they comfort, and they guide others by being able to present the truth of the gospel in a way that urges others to take a next step. They offer advice. They take action and have solution-based advice with ideas that help people progress and motivate others to grow. So if exhortation is that you're really good with your words, you're able to use your words, they make sense, they urge people on. You know, you're like William Wallace, you get out there, you're ready to go, you know, you're ready to go, you're getting everything ready to go, you're able to lead people into battle, they're ready to run through a wall for you, and you know, everybody's dressed like the Kool-Aid man, oh yeah, oh no, like, you're that person. You have exhortation. There's a space for you and God's family. Hey, even at the Vine, if that's you, maybe, just maybe, you want to bring the preach. Lead a greenhouse gathering. Maybe start your own greenhouse gathering. Maybe you're good with words and you're good at writing social media or devotionals or blogs. Maybe you like to write encouraging notes. There's notes that sit over there every week. You write that thing, we'll get it to whoever you want to write it to. I don't know if we can get it to the president, but we'll try. But whatever that is, if you want to write a letter, you want to encourage somebody, I will tell you there's nothing like that. Sometimes in life, have you ever just got like a text when you're having a bad day? Or just a reach out? That person who sent that likely has the gift of exhortation. Like, they just have a feeling, I need to text that person. And that's the Holy Spirit prompting them to use their words. And in using their words, they're able to have that gift. So if that's you today, take that next step. Don't let that go to neglect. We're almost there. We're getting there. This is the big one. If all the ushers will lock the doors and come forward real quick with a tithe basket, we'll have this one, because this is the next one. Giving. Giving. This is the one we live and celebrate every week here at the Vine, and all of us do that. Giving. The parable of the sower, 2 Corinthians 9. The parable of the sower is great for us in Matthew, excuse me, but I would encourage you in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 15. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. We're in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 15, I would encourage you, if giving is something you're struggling with or is something that God has called you to do, and trust me, God has called you to do it. He's called all of us to do it. What they do, people who have this tremendous gift, though, the extra step of giving, those people recognize that God has blessed them to be a blessing. And they live a lifestyle that limits their resources so that they can help others, and they do it cheerfully and willingly. Like they know, like, hey, God's given me this $100 and I'm not trying to figure out what bill I'm trying to pay with it. God's given me this $100 and they understand, okay, God, what are you going to have me do with it? That's how they live their life. All right? Like those are the types of people that have that. Like they may hide $100 in a Bible over there at the garden sometime for you to go pick up. I don't know. Whatever that is, those are the type of people that those are, those giving. Like they just have that. And sometimes they're envied. Sometimes they're misunderstood. Sometimes people think, well, if I only had that gift, I would have it all together, God. And I will tell you the pressure many times for those people is immense because they realize they can't help everybody. As a church, we realize we can't help everybody. We can only help who God's called us to help. So those with the gift of giving, if that's you, a church needs that to function. It takes money to make things happen. And here at the Vine, I'm so thankful that we give the way that we give. But I want to say not only that, we always talk about it being our time, our talent, our treasure. I don't want to focus just on the treasure, but the talents that you have are the gifts we're walking through. But each and every week with your time and how we load in and how we load out. And I would just say take it a step further. Maybe that's you right now and you're trying to figure out how to give, what it looks like with that, give of your time. Maybe, just maybe, when it comes to giving of your time, maybe you just pray for somebody in the church this week. How hard is that? Hey, in the car this week, just think of somebody in the church and pray for them. That's a gift of giving. You're giving them your time. I know that that doesn't sound crazy. Or that sounds crazy. It does sound crazy. That sounds crazy, but trust me, there's a blessing in that. So for each and every one of us, understand those who have that gift of giving not only try to help as many people that as possible and live a life that does that, but they try to meet those tangible needs, not so that they are praised or they are honored, but that Jesus is, because he's the one who gives the blessing. So as ushers come forward, I
passed around the basket a minute ago. It didn't have enough in it, so we need to go back around in there. Some loose change in there. I heard some dollar bills on the way in. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. Y'all know we don't do that. Next week we will. So that being said, wherever you are, I'm going to need y'all to hide coins in the pool for the kids there. That's what's going to happen. So that being said, that's giving. All right, we can move on from that. Tyler, move forward. Boom, we're good. All right, helps. Helps is the next gift. If you have the gift of helps, you probably have the administration gift as well. But if that's you and the Holy Spirit is moving in you today, go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. It's two verses down from where we finished today. Those who have that have a divine strength or ability to work in a supportive role to accomplish the task of ministry and often do that to support others. Often see them behind the scenes doing things. They use their gifts, often without being asked. They enjoy knowing that they are freeing up others to do what God has called them to do. So if you have the gift of helps, in other words, you just go solve things. It doesn't matter if you're noticed or not. And you understand, hey, if I do this, it's going to free this person up to do this. So in other words, maybe this is where I say the gift of administration and helps kind of go together. If I print the bulletins, Mr. or Miss Church Secretary, if I print the bulletins, then the pastor's not having to do that. So now he can pray for somebody. He can see somebody. He can talk to somebody. He can study for the message. He can get ready for this group. If I do this, then that frees up that person. That helps everywhere else. That helps everywhere else. Like if, Zach makes the slide for you. That frees you up to be able to take notes, to make sense of the chaos that I present you every week. He does that to make sure that you can understand that. That's a behind-the-scenes gift. You weren't there with him this week when he was getting that ready. None of us were, but he got us ready for that. That's an example, a real example of that. Inside the app, getting all of that ready. That's a real example if you have helps. That's just a real example of doing that. So wherever you are, if you have the gift of helps, you can help communicate ministry information to everyone every week. Hey, you can reach out to others every week if that's you. You can help the administrative gifts and help free up others to do other things. Maybe they need to take a next step. Remember last week I was talking to you about calling. I have the apostle side, so I'm ready to push the boundaries always to go to the next thing. And so when I give things away, I like knowing it's given away, and I don't like circling back to it. We'll circle back. We don't circle back to it unless I'm coming to see you again if God opens the door, right? Like Paul on his journey, all right? If God opens the door, I'll see you again, Corinth. But if not, I'll see you in heaven. Jesus loves you, and you just walk on out. Like, you know, you're good to go. You're good to go. That's just kind of how that is. So the gift, people having people that have the gift of helps to those with that calling helps tremendously. So if that's you today, please let us know. We would love for you to take that step. Next is the gift of hospitality, near and dear to my heart. Hospitality.
If that's you today, I would encourage you to read Hebrews 13, verse 1 through 2. People with hospitality make others feel like they are welcome by creating a safe and comfortable setting where relationships can develop into meaningful relationships. They embody welcome home. They are the people that you can go on and you feel like you've known them for a million years just by one interaction. Those are the people that are great. Those are people that help. Those are the people that always make sure everyone knows they are seen and they are heard. That is something that if you have those people, if you have this gift, it is a blessing to have those because it makes you always feel like you belong there. There's always a seat saved for you. They're like Motel 6. We'll leave a light on for you. They're like Cracker Barrel before the rebrand. Can I say that? Whatever that is, that's where they are. Those are the people that have that welcome home feel. And you've got to have that because there's always going to be, here's the beauty of that. There's an opposite side of that. There are people that don't want to be seen, and there are people that don't want to be heard, but if you don't see them or hear them, you're going to hear about it. You know what I'm saying? So you got to have those people that are hospitable. When it comes to those that have hospitality, they often open up their homes. They like to open up their homes and welcome people in and just create. Those are the people that have the gift of hospitality. They want you to walk in and not have to think about what you have to do. Like they have the plates there, the forks there, the cups there. They've got all of those things. They just want you to be able to walk in and sit down and enjoy it. Sit down and enjoy your time together. If that's you, man, I'd love for us to have folks. I know we have a couple folks that try to say hello to everybody. I would love for us to have a team of people that say hello to everybody. Not just in our Vine fam, but for the people that are in the YMCA that are sitting out at the front desk, for the people that are meeting up from the other church, just to say hello to them. I mean, that's good for us as a church to say, hey, we're in this together. You know what I mean? That's a great thing. So if that's you, you can take that step today. You can serve with our community event committee that tries to have gifts, tries to have events together with us. You can start or host a group, start a greenhouse gathering, or you know what? You could even have a meetup here at the Y if you want it. You could figure that out. There's a community room over there. If nobody else is a member here, I'm a member here. I can take advantage of that as long as we have it on the schedule. It's right over there. You can meet somebody over here. You let me know. Not in a creepy way. That sounded bad. But if you want to have a group or a prayer meeting for a time, I can get that on the schedule. Come hang out here. It'd be a great thing to do. There are 10,000 members at this YMCA. Specifically, I mean, it's crazy. So there's an opportunity to meet some new people when it comes to that. So let's move on. Next, knowledge. I have none of this, so we're good. We'll move on. Knowledge. If you have this gift and the Holy Spirit's moving in you, go to Colossians 2, verse 2 to 3 later today. Read that. See how the Holy Spirit challenges you. But the people with the spiritual gift and the serving gift of knowledge understand the truths of God's word and make them relevant. These are those people that are teachers. They can get that down in like a minute or less. They give you those little videos that are impactful. They seek out and learn as much about the Bible as they possibly can and search the scripture for insight and understanding and truth and have unusual insight and understanding that serves others by organizing information for teaching and practical use. They can take the examples. Those are the example people. Those are the ones that could give a good example at the beginning of every sermon. They can understand things. Like, those are good people, and you need people with knowledge. If that's you and you have that gifting, you probably have the gift of exhortation too. You're probably pretty good with your words. Wide open here. Bring the preach on a Sunday. I know I say that a lot. Bring the preach. Come speak at a Thursday night greenhouse gathering. Come start your own if you want to. There's a gathering space over there. You can have that. You can be a part of the Power Plant prayer team. We have people who send in prayer requests online every week. You can speak with those people. You can do devotionals. You can share Bible verses on social media. You can do all of those things instead of right now, honestly, I'm the one who does all of that on there. So it's probably very limited what you get on that. I mean, you get the verse of the day every day. You get an invitation to church. That's about all I'm good for. I'm not really going to be giving you a ton of that. We have Thursday night where I try to do things there, and we have Sundays. So if that's you and you have the gift of that, there's ample opportunity for you to share that. You could write a blog. You could do things like that. And I've heard many people say, hey, I want to do that. Listen, when it comes to me, anybody knows this, you don't often have to ask my permission to things. I'm just going to say, hey, is that what God's called you to do? Awesome. Here's what you need. Here's your login. You're good. I'm an apostle when it comes to that. I'm not going to hold your hand through it. I'm sorry. I'm bad about it. I'll just say, figure it out. You got it. Tell me what you need. And I'm going to go on to the next thing and keep pushing the boundaries, okay? So that's that. Next, leadership. We're almost done. We only got two more after this. Leadership. If that's you, I would encourage you to go to Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. This is where everybody says they want to be until the accountability comes in. But leadership. Leadership. They provide direction for God's people and motivate them to perform to the best of their abilities. They set goals to accomplish God's purpose and communicate those goals to others in such a way that they work together to accomplish them. They are motivators, and they direct people to accomplish the purpose of God as they take responsibility for it. That's the hard part of leadership. The leader takes responsibility for it. And what should happen is those that follow the leader, if the leader takes responsibility for it, what the hope of the leader is that the team takes responsibility for themselves. And they help hold themselves accountable. That's what everybody wants to do with that. So if that's you, hey, there's ample opportunities here. You can shepherd a ministry here. Start up a new one that we don't even know about. Maybe you want to start a men's group. You want to help with a women's group. Help with a singles group. Help with a youth gathering. I say singles group. There might be a process when we go through a singles group. I just want to let you know, because sometimes those are pretty creepy in church. I'm just going to say, put it out there. But we would work through that, and we would help you through that. Maybe God's called you to do that. We'd love to help you with that. Also, maybe there's just something when it comes to that, when it comes to leadership. Maybe you want to host a gathering somewhere. Again, let us know. We would love to help you with that. Next, we're getting there. We're almost there. Service. Service. Have service. These next two will have the same scripture, 1 Timothy 1, verse 16 through 18. If that's you and this is the gifting that you have, for service, this is all of us. You have the ability to do a great or small task working for the overall good of the body of Christ. You see tangible and practical things that need to be done, and you enjoy doing them. Here's the thing about those who have this gift, though. They see something that needs to be done, and they just do it instead of finding somebody else to do it. That's the supernatural part of that gift. It's the supernatural part of having the gift of service. Everything we do is a gift of service here at the Vine. Everything. Absolutely everything we do is the gift of service. There are ample opportunities for you to step into serving today. Last but not least, words of wisdom. Again, go to 1 Timothy 1, verse 16 to 18. These are those people that can give those short-minute Bible verses online and just give you relevant teaching really well. They provide God-given solutions in the midst of conflict and confusion. These are people that when you pray with them, they're able to give you great solutions and next steps, even if they don't walk with you fully through them. Usually they do. These are the teachers and the pastors we talked about last week. They hear God's direction in a giving situation and are able to apply a spiritual truth in a practical way. They're able to sort through opinions and thoughts of everything and get straight to the fact of the matter and help you understand it and take a next step. These are your counselors, all right? You probably have the gift of exhortation if you have words of wisdom. Maybe your counseling isn't on stage or in front of everyone, but it is one-on-one. And the reason that that's so important for them is they understand the way God thinks because they seek him so well, and they apply that knowledge so that others can see their specific needs met. They help the person in front of them take a next step. That is a person with a word of wisdom. Again, wide open, social media. You want to help at the Vine, do that. There's social media. There's devotionals you can write. You can start or host a greenhouse gathering. You could have a group. You can be a part of the Power Plant prayer team. Wide open, if that is you, there's opportunity. Sometimes your word of wisdom may be putting your arm around somebody on a Sunday morning and just saying, how can I pray for you, and praying for them right there. Some people have that gift. And so wherever you are, I just want to say that was a ton of information. Felt like probably a fire hydrant coming out, spraying at you. But I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit spoke to you about one or two of those things, because honestly, we have all of them in the Holy Spirit. We have all of these gifts that can present themselves at different times. The question is, which one do we enjoy? Because that's probably the one that God has gifted you with. You may not enjoy hospitality, but you may be great at words of wisdom. You may not enjoy administration, but you may be good at exhortation. I mean, when it looks at those things, look at what you enjoy, and I'm telling you, that's what God's gifted you to do, and the church, not just the Vine, but the local church around the world, Jesus has called you to take a next step into it. I would encourage you to do it, because we know through Christ Jesus that I can live fully in God's family. Jesus reminded us of this in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, this world will tell us to chase all of these things. Specifically on that list, I would say the world would tempt us not to chase giving, but to chase greed and leadership and corporate status. The world will tell us that the gifts that it has for us to open will bring us fulfillment, and it is like a conveyor belt. It is like running on a treadmill or a stair climbing machine. You're doing something, but you ain't getting nowhere. It is leading you somewhere. It's only leading you to death and unfulfillment. But the world will trick us in that. And so Jesus reminds us what he came for us for. He didn't come, live the perfect life you and I couldn't live, die of the death, paying our wages for our sin on the cross, and rising again for the third day by the power of the Holy Spirit for us just to sit back and say, well, the work's done. He says it's finished. He lets us be a part of him working in and through us. And so if you're a part of the family of God, I would encourage you today, maybe Jesus has been prompting you to take a next step. Take that next step and let's work and walk through it together. For others today, maybe right now you're still on that treadmill. You can't figure out why you're on the treadmill. You tried to figure it all out. You've tried to be the leader. You've read all the guru books. You've read everything in the self-help section. And every time you go, the section just gets bigger and bigger. You've watched all the people online and that say they've got it all figured out. But then all of a sudden they have a fall from grace and make you charge a monthly subscription. And you can't figure out why they've done that. It's kind of like writing a book to say how I made $1 million and charging $1 million for the book. That's what the world's going to do for me. It's just going to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus came for more for you than that. And so today, maybe you're on that treadmill and you can't figure out why you can't get off of it. Have you considered Jesus? See, all of us were sinners in need of a Savior. All of us are separated from an almighty God who has given us the gifts to live fully in his family, but sin does not let us do it. We've chosen our own way. We've chosen and thought that we should pick our place in the body, that we know better how to live our life than God who created us does. And that sin, the reason it separates us, is God can't be in the presence of it. God can only be in the presence of perfection. You say, I've never sinned. I want to tell you right now, you're not perfect. None of us are. You might be 99.99%, but you're missing that 0.1%. And that's what you're missing. That 0.1%, that 0.01% is Jesus. He's actually 100% of what you need. And so today, have you considered Jesus? With every head bowed and every eye closed, we open this opportunity every week so that others can come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior for the first time. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith. It's the faith knowing that you and I are sinners in need of a Savior, that God loved us enough that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior for our sins, for us, in spite of us, and loves us enough that he didn't just defeat death, hell, and the grave and sin. He rose again on the third day so that we can have life fully in the family of God now. We can fully live heaven on earth now. The question is, will we receive this gift in faith or keep rejecting it, chasing the gifts of the world? With every head bowed and every eye closed, we pray this prayer out loud as a Vine fam for the benefit of those coming to the faith for the first time each and every week. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat this prayer of this words, this prayer of the words of this prayer of faith. I'll get it out in a minute. After me, dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we have them closed here in the house. If you've given your life to Christ for the first time, I'm going to ask you to do something boldly on the count of three. If you're online watching, I'm going to ask you to do something boldly on the count of three as well. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand wherever you're watching. You're in a coffee shop right now. You're in the car at a red light listening to the podcast. If you're watching this video at home in the bed right now, I'm going to ask if for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house, you can do that. Online, please shoot us a message if you've done that, because as we've learned today, the only way you fully be all Jesus has created you to be is inside the local church. And if you're not close to the Vine and you can't be here with us, we'd love to get you in touch with a local church near you, because we care about the local church around the world and the church, the body of Jesus Christ, thriving, not just our individual gathering. And for the rest of us, we're about to have this moment of worship. I just pray today, if the Holy Spirit's challenging you, you take a next step. Maybe right now you're trying to figure out where your gifting is. Inside the app right now, I want to let you know, we have put the tab back up for the spiritual gifts test. Take me just a minute to get it back to you, because I'll be the one that is sorting those out. So if you do fill that out, give me just a little bit of time to get that back to you. But maybe you need to take that again. That is in there. And I would encourage you to take your next step in Jesus today. So if everyone would just please stand, let's worship Jesus and give him the praise that he deserves.
sing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Here's the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy
we'll be right back.
I believe and know that the Holy Spirit probably challenged us today to be nice to someone. So let's make sure we love each other very well, because that's exactly what we're going to talk about next week. Paul's going to say the most excellent way and how we love. 1 Corinthians 13, very familiar. Maybe somebody will get married next week. I don't know. Maybe that's usually what you're singing, that, whatever that looks like. But whatever it looks like, we want to let you know that we love you, but most importantly, Jesus loves you, and we can't wait to see your smiling face.